Happy birthday, everyone. And this is a birthday celebration. This is the birthday of the church. When you talk in terms of birth, you're talking in terms of generation. If you're talking in terms of that generation, we take a look at the signs of that generation. We take a look how in Genesis, when God created, the Spirit hovered over the waters of the abyss. Well, we think in terms of what we heard in Acts, we talk in terms of the Spirit hovering, filling literally the room in which these apostles housed themselves. Then you take a look at what happened. Tongues of flame appeared over their head. You know, fire usually burns and it destroys. But this was not a fire that destroyed, it was a fire that ignited, that turned literally the disciples, the apostles, on to express tongues, to express the living person of Jesus Christ, who would now reside within his church. Lorenzo de Medici the Magnificent, he was an extremely wealthy individual who liked to put on huge pageants. And he wanted to put on a pageant for Pentecost. And what he did was he had these pulleys, these strings that were tongues of flames would come down. Wanted to be really realistic. So the time came for this little town, and these tongues of flame started coming down, and it ignited the cloth over the side and burned down the entire theater. What happened? That's the depiction, the false depiction of what is going on here in the scriptures. The depiction here in the scriptures with those tongues of flame is igniting the hearts, that burning desire to proclaim Jesus to the world. If we remember again from the Old Testament, we have the Tower of Babel. And what happens? Man tries to reach God through his own device. And then all of a sudden what happens? God sends down the division in terms of tongues and languages. In fact, we even get that term to babble from that Old Testament. Meaningless. Now they couldn't understand one another. Now division was separated. Think in terms of the tongues of Pentecost. The tongues of Pentecost come down and they go out and they start proclaiming the Lord Jesus, and everybody from different territories, from different nations, were hearing them in their own language. The Holy Spirit unites people together who seek the Lord Jesus. Recently, Pope Francis, and certainly garnered a lot of attention throughout the world, both through his election and his own type of personage. Pope Francis said this in a homily recently: apart from the church, it's not possible to find Jesus. A radical statement. Apart from the church, it's not possible to find Jesus. He goes on to quote Pope Paul, who said, it is an absurd dichotomy to wish to live with Jesus but without the church. To follow Jesus but without the church. To love Jesus but without the church. And the Mother Church, who gives us Jesus, also gives us an identity that is not simply a rubber stamp. It is membership. Identity means membership, belonging to the church. This, he says, is beautiful. We are participating literally today in the celebration of the great mystery. Now, when I use that word mystery, I don't mean it as a dodge. He's not answering the question, so he throws out mystery. Mystery is a sleight of hand that's given by theologians, by individuals, not to answer the question that's posed. Well, I tell you, that's the wrong approach to mystery. Mystery is an acknowledgement of what is and an invitation to enter into that relationship which is offered. And what invitation does the church offer to us? An invitation through our brothers and sisters to know the Lord Jesus. When I'm confirming, individuals will come up to me, young candidates, and they'll take names of various saints. And some of the saints will take and will briefly discuss the phenomenal things that this saint accomplished. And the aspect is that makes it so phenomenal is that no one in the world would have ever imagined that this person could have accomplished what they did. Take a look even in our own lifetime. An Eastern European nun who is penniless suddenly goes and dedicates herself in the name of Jesus Christ to the poorest of the poor. And suddenly she has the attention of the entire world. She has world leaders coming to her. And all she wanted to do, in her own words, is just to do something beautiful for God. Listen to the words of Paul the Sixth. The church, your belonging, your identity, this is beautiful. There's nothing spectacular about those individuals in the upper room. Believe me when I tell you this. Common fishermen, non-educated. But there was one thing that they did do. They opened themselves up to the presence of the Lord in and through his church and allowed the Lord to use them as an instrument proclaiming his presence to the world. And here we are 2,000 years later with the world that has embraced the message that they went out to deliver. But I tell you, we can't go back and rely upon the success of those apostles, because it is our task and mission to make sure that that word of Jesus is proclaimed now in his church through us as the disciples, as the recipients of those tongues of flame at Pentecost. And you have that same power. You and I have that same power to change the world by proclaiming the Lord Jesus through his love. Each and every one of us, not being someone different, but by being exactly who God created us, but fulfilling it in our openness to the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives through the church. In a brief moment, I will go back to the chair and I will make a proclamation. I will decree a year from now a synod for our entire church. In preparation for that synod, we released a pastoral. And what was the question of the pastoral? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Jesus asked that question of Peter at Caesarea Philippi. And he asked that question of us today. Who do you say that I am? And when we faithfully answer that question and assimilate the response in our lives, we become joined intrinsically to the mystery of the church, which is to proclaim the gospel message of Jesus, which is established to offer his love to our brothers and sisters, which is given to us for our salvation. Help me, especially on this Pentecost, to pray for the success of our synod as we go through that year of preparation for that synod, which will be next year on this, the Feast of Pentecost. Know that this is our time. This is the time where we need to stand and hold forth the great mystery of the church for the salvation of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this year of faith, we are called into a time of particular reflection and rediscovery of the faith, a time to ponder anew on its 50th anniversary, the teachings of the Second Vatican Council, and a time to study with fresh eyes the Catechism of the Catholic Church on its 20th anniversary. We know that faith is born from listening and is strengthened by proclamation. Hence, we issued our pastoral letter, "Who Do You Say That I Am?" to spark a period of diocesan-wide focus on the theology of the Church. Having studied and reflected on the needs of this local church, and having heard from the people of God of southeastern Wisconsin, we have determined that the time is ripe for setting forth a vision of the future and determining the priorities that will move us forward. A synod is an assembly of members of Christ's faithful in a diocese for the good of the whole diocese. It assists the diocesan bishop in his care for the community by proposing directions and priorities. A synod not only manifests and actualizes ecclesial communion in a diocese, it also builds up and fosters that same unity. The work of the synod is to promote acceptance of the Church's saving teaching and to encourage the faithful in their following of Christ. Since the Church is sent into the world to proclaim and bear witness to that communion by which it is constituted, as well as to actualize it and to spread it, a synod can serve as a means of evangelization. Preparation for and celebration of a synod can help the community of the faithful reflect on and celebrate their Catholic identity and the true meaning of what it is to be church. In accord with the norms of Canons 460 to 468, we consulted the Archdiocesan Council of Priests, and they expressed their support. We also sought the advice of the Archdiocesan Consultors, the Archdiocesan Pastoral Council, and the Archdiocesan Finance Council, all of whom concurred with the proposal of a synod. Therefore, we herewith decree the convocation of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee Synod to be celebrated June 7th and 8th, 2014, the Solemnity of Pentecost. The Synod Preparatory Commission will guide the process of reflection and consultation for the Synod in conjunction with parish and district discussion of the pastoral letter, "Who Do You Say That I Am?" Through this process, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the issues for deliberation at the synod will emerge and vision for the future become clearer. At the synod, representatives of clergy, laity, and religious will convene for prayerful dialogue, discernment, and deliberation in order to address the pastoral priorities that will move us forward. Through preparation for, celebration of, and implementation after the synod, together we can rediscover the joy of believing and the enthusiasm for communicating the faith. We encourage all the faithful of the Archdiocese to join in prayer through the intercession of our patron, Saint John the Evangelist, and under the loving eyes of Mary, Mother of the Church, asking Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to guide our preparations, to inspire our deliberations, and to bless our synod results. Given this 19th day of May, the Solemnity of Pentecost, in the year of our Lord, 2013, at the Cathedral of St. John the Evangelist, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.